Hi listeners, Hussein here. And as you guessed by my voice, I have a terrible throat infection. And we did record an episode, but given how bad my voice sounds, we've decided to re-release a really good episode that I think we are very proud of, that we had released way back in November 2019. We feel that it is very relevant and it just gives us more perspective about the things that are happening today. So we hope you enjoy this episode and see you again next week. Bye.
Hello, namaste, welcome to Far From Fact. Join us,
Keshav Naidu,
and me, Hussein Merchant,
as we solve pertinent world issues in an attempt to make the world a better place.
Make the world a better place?
Okay, we'll leave it the way we found it.
So, first, before we start,
yeah,
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Did you imagine you would be in a situation where 1 week you will be discussing 69 and laughing at stupid 69 jokes.
Yeah.
And the next week, immediate week after that, you would be discussing something as
serious
and landmark.
Landmark. As the Ayodhya issue.
Yeah.
Not just that, 1 week before that we were doing chaddi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why chaddi sales have gone down. So from chaddi to 69. To now, serious stuff like Ayodhya.
The country's most important...
identity.
Yeah.
It's the nation's identity, right. Practically.
Correct.
I don't know where to begin.
I think if... I don't know if it would be right to set this context, but okay, maybe for listeners, I think the way we will try and approach it is, we did an episode on Article 370.
Correct.
And many people enjoyed that episode.
For its objectivity... Even though it's a departure from what we normally do.
Yeah. And it's also an ignorant discussion.
An ignorant point of view.
Yeah.
We come from the same place as you do. That's what makes it...
Yes.
Yeah.
So if...
We're not a news source.
Absolutely not.
Because okay, my greatest concern right now is sedition.
It's a valid concern. So just before this morning I was reading, 90 people have been arrested already.
Yeah.
And some 8,000 posts have been taken down on this whole issue.
On Ayodhya.
On Ayodhya specifically.
Just Ayodhya. Just issue within Ayodhya. 48 hours.
Yes.
90 people have been arrested. Any sort of concentration? Or is it pan-India?
No, mostly from UP itself.
Local.
Yeah. Around the Ayodhya region, I'm guessing. Okay. Because that's the highest risk.
Fair.
So that is a concern, honestly, for me. Multiple people have, well-wishers have told me, don't do it.
Don't do it. But we don't believe in well-wishers.
And it's, I don't think I am firstly important enough
to be taken down.
To be taken down.
Second, if we are sent to, for us, I'm guessing, based on jurisdiction, Arthur Road Jail is the closest.
Yeah, closest. For me, maybe you may go to a Khar.
I don't know if there's anything in Khar. Actually, the Khar, there's a lockup.
Okay.
Khar police station has a lockup.
Okay. But I think they should keep us together, na, at least.
Ideally. At least, you know.
Yeah.
Or if not...
at least so we can get our story
we
straight.
We can get our story straight. We can do an episode from inside. Because I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff available inside. If mobile phones are available inside, then we can easily... bad audio quality, but we'll record one from the inside.
Instagram Live. Our first Instagram Live will happen from
this.
Okay, cool, man. So, are you ready to jump in?
Yes. So, should we do a over the years quick snapshot?
Yeah. That's an excellent way to start. So, timeline, basically.
Yeah.
To help people understand what happened and why it became such a big
deal.
Issue.
Because it didn't start yesterday. I mean, it's been on...
For multiple centuries.
Centuries, huh? How many years exactly?
So, I have...
Not exactly, roughly.
Roughly. I have a very good historical timeline present here.
Okay, okay. So...
The court disputes began in 1885.
Court disputes?
Yeah.
Wow. That really goes back, huh?
Yeah. So, court disputes started in the year 1885, where someone wanted to, there's a man, Mahant Raghubir Das, he filed a suit seeking to build a temple on land adjoining the mosque. Okay, so that's when the litigations
started,
court matters started.
And this is before the, not idea, on paper before the India.
Yeah, before,
before
independence.
The, before, before we were a country.
Correct. We were still under British rule then. So the mosque was constructed in 1529.
Hmm.
That's the, you can say the, when the, the genesis, because the mosque is what caused the...
The debate.
The debate. That started in 1529, and I think this is common knowledge. It's called Babri Mosque.
Because of Babur.
Because of Babur, and the person who constructed it was Mir Baqi.
Mir Baqi.
I think Babur's general or something.
Yeah, correct.
So, timeline.
This is the background. Not background, the primer, you can
yeah,
say.
Yeah, the primer. So, 1885 is when the court disputes began.
So, for 300 years, you can say there was no legal action.
Yeah.
Partly because there were no courts.
Correct, yeah.
Because you can't make, can't file a suit when there's no big court building.
Yeah.
So, stamp paper ka milega? Wait 200 years. We court banne ke baad, abhi aa raha hai.
So, but you know, I've read multiple incidents. There's been disharmony in that region before a court.
So even before 1885, issues,
yeah, local issues
have been happening. Yeah.
So 1885 mein court disputes began, and this was with the Faizabad court.
Okay.
Now things happened, life went on as usual, and still, you know, even when this suit was filed, local issues continued happening.
Hmm.
However, the next big event in this was on the night of 22nd December 1949.
Correct. This is post-independence.
Post-independence. Ram idols appeared inside the mosque.
Magically.
That's what they claimed.
Magically. The claim was magically.
Yes. So, Hindus see the appearance of the idol as a divine revelation. However, many argue that the idol was smuggled inside at night. And once the idol appeared, Hindus started offering prayers. Okay, so that was the... that, I think, in my opinion, was the... You could say the inception of the disharmony, the national level... This that event, in my opinion,
started
caused
it.
Yeah.
So I maybe even in 1949, I believe it was not national.
Very likely.
It was still regional.
Yeah.
The national scale, I think, happened in 1992.
Correct.
And the international scale has happened now.
Now. So we'll build up to 1992.
Okay.
1949, when the idols were placed. After that, the different sides started coming up.
Right.
Okay. So 1950. Hindu sides filed the suit.
Right.
So again in Faizabad court, so there was a permission seeking to conduct Hindu pujas to Ram Lalla.
Mm. So Ram Lalla is, for most people know, but Ram Lalla is the baby Ram.
Yes.
Or like a, like you have a Bal Krishna.
Oh.
Equivalent.
Good
of,
example.
Of Ram.
Or is Chota Bhim a good...
Chota Bhim is also a very good example. We should come back to that. We'll put a massive marker on that, because I think...
Most of our listeners will be
will
more
be familiar,
familiar
with
Chota
Bhim
than Ram Lalla, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So, 1950, the Hindus side filed a suit asking to worship and do puja to Ram Lalla. The court granted the party's permission to conduct pujas, and court orders the inner courtyard gates to remain locked.
Okay, this is an important one here. This is audio content, but should we explain the lay of the land a little here?
Yeah. So that's the next step.
Next step.
After
okay.
the other timeline is established, we will explain the different
parts of the property. Because this is a land... What is it called?
Land dispute.
Land dispute is also known as title dispute.
Yeah.
So largely it's not a religious case. It's not about history.
Mm.
From a legal point of view, it's a land dispute.
Yeah.
Literally like two brothers fighting over, ye khet mera hai, ye ghar mera hai.
Totally.
Okay.
Then in 1959, the Nirmohi Akhada comes into the picture,
right,
seeking possession of this land.
Okay.
So it is one of the 14 Akharas recognized by the Akhil Bhartiya Akhara Parishad. You know, the ABAP, we've talked about them before.
Before, yeah.
You know in which episode?
I can't remember now, but was it Valentine's Day?
Does the word Nanga ring a bell?
Nanga Sadhu?
Yeah.
Oh. Ho, ho, ho.
ABAP.
That was ABAP, yeah?
Mm. So, I think even they... So, it comes under that umbrella.
Mm.
But the Nirmohi Akhada members are...
So, highly credible is what you're saying.
That's one way of looking at it. So, members are expected to lead simple and austere lives of celibacy and to accept Rama as their god.
Okay.
Okay, so these guys now filed a suit for possession of this land.
Right.
In 1959.
So, these are the first... This is the first body that has filed a suit. Because before this was an individual.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. This was the first body. Following that, in 1961, the UP Sunni Waqf Board filed a suit seeking possession of Babri Mosque site.
Right.
And they demanded the removal of Ram idols from Babri Masjid.
Okay. So, this is the first time a Muslim body has filed a suit.
Yes. So, now this is the first time you could say that on one side there were the Hindus and on the other side there were the Muslims seeking possession of the same piece of land.
Same piece of land. Now, interestingly, both are two different lawsuits that are filed at two different times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? One is filed in...
Which one are you talking about?
The Nirmohi Akhada.
That was 59.
59.
Yeah.
Which will have its own course.
Mm-hmm.
Then the one filed by the Sunni Waqf Board, which is in 61. So 2 years later.
Yeah.
But which will also have its own course.
Yes.
And both of them turned into whatever they turned into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing without an outcome. Which is why eventually
they
have
all
merged into one mega case that we have today.
Yes. So that's the story so far. Sure. That's the timeline so far. Now, 61 to 84, things were fairly status quo.
And amicable, you can say? We don't know that. There would have been the random skirmish here and there.
Yeah, yeah. But that thing was now... means it was, I think what had happened was, because this dispute was going on, the area was now not accessible to either.
Oh.
Those Ram idols were still inside.
Okay.
And now, in 1984...
So, we don't know about access to the place.
Yeah,
let's
I'm not
stay
sure
away from that.
Access to the place between that period. But 61 to 84, there were no major... There was no major turmoil. Nothing. People were living their lives as is. 1984 is when the Ram Janmabhoomi movement commenced.
Right.
Now, this...
And who's the body?
Say, so, the Vishwa Hindu Parishad constituted a group to start the Ram Janmabhoomi movement. BJP leader L.K. Advani is made the leader of the campaign.
Right. And this is where you can say the Kar Sevaks...
Yes.
...kind of shot to fame.
Yeah. Okay. So, this... If I have to give my opinion to this, I think this you could say is the beginning of the politicization.
Large scale national level politicization.
Yeah. Cool. So that's when the Ram Janmabhoomi movement started in 1984. On 1st Feb 1986, the inner gates of Babri Mosque were opened.
Opened as in by whom?
Text says that a third party, lawyer UC Pandey, appeals for the gates to be unlocked before the Faizabad Session Court on the grounds that the Faizabad District Administration and not a court had ordered its closure.
This has something to do with jurisdiction, I would imagine.
More than jurisdiction, I think authority.
Authority, okay. So he got it opened.
He got it opened. District judge.
He got the mosque opened.
No, the gates. He got the, it says the inner gate of Babri Mosque opened. Now there is the outer courtyard, inner courtyard.
Here I think a picture of the lay of the, maybe in our show notes or somewhere we'll add a JPEG.
Yeah.
Or so, a link to the JPEG of what the plot looks like.
Yeah, cool. And we'll also get into that
section
after this. Now, since this lawyer played this card, the district judge then orders the locks to be removed to allow Hindu puja and darshan. After that, Muslims constitute a Babri Mosque Action Committee in protest.
So now, thanks to Mr. Pandey, who's a Hindu lawyer based on name, has gotten access to the...
You could say the inner gate.
The inner gate.
Yeah.
So the gate allows him, inner gate allows him access to...
Puja and Darshan.
For the place where the idols are kept next to the mosque.
Yeah.
This creates chaos.
I think stirs the Muslim side to also wake up.
Right. And would it be safe to speculate that such action is typically motivated by with political agenda, right?
You would be naive to think otherwise.
Otherwise, fair. Great. Just putting it out.
Putting
there.
It out. Now, in November, on November 9th, 1989.
Yeah.
Okay, this I think is another big step. So, PM Rajiv Gandhi allows the VHP, which is the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, to perform Shilanayas, which is laying of foundation stone near the disputed area.
This, for our listeners who are particularly young and ignorant, is Mr.
Rajiv Gandhi?
Rahul
Gandhi.
This is Rahul Gandhi's father. So, Rahul. For those, Rahul and Priyanka's daddy. Rahul or Priyanka ke papa.
Acha. So, Mr. And he was the prime minister.
He was the
then.
Prime minister at the time.
Cool. So, any questions so far?
So far, I think this is a great,
journey.
Foundation. Right.
And even they have laid the foundation stone. And to add my bit of opinion here is, not opinion, on my reading, it's been said that this was also a dirty trick because this also attempted to, what is it, caste-based politics? Is that the word?
Yeah, absolutely. Gerrymandering.
Okay.
That's the...
British term, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think there's political science word for this.
Wow, okay.
Which is... using dirty tricks
to gain
favor, to gain momentum during the elections.
Okay, cool. So now this has happened. Rajiv Gandhi allowed VHP to lay the foundation stone. Now the juicy, if you look at the climax
of this beautiful HBO special, if it was.
Yeah. This is where it starts getting juicy.
1990.
September 25th, 1990. So, just before that, in 1989, all the suits were now shifted to Allahabad High Court.
Okay.
So, along with the Nirmohi Akhada and the Sunni Waqf Board, one more person jumped in the
mix,
in the name of Ram Lalla Virajman.
This is super. This is where it really gets creative and interesting.
Yeah. So now all these three, you could say litigants, one is Nirmohi Akhada.
Right.
They are, even today, their claim was as caretakers.
It's like a trust.
Yeah. Caretakers of the property. So
right.
They were claiming
right
to possession. Next, Sunni Waqf Board, who was also claiming right to Babri Masjid.
Yeah.
And the Ram Lalla Virajman, which is Baby Ram.
Baby Ram residing.
Yeah. And that
literal
was...
Literal translation.
Yeah. Oh, Virajman means residing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, sitting on a throne.
Oh. Nice. Okay. So, their claim was that we are filing this on behalf of Ram Lalla because it is his birthplace. This property belongs to him.
Not even us.
Yeah. On behalf.
Super.
So these are the three people now in the mix.
Right.
1989 mein, all these three have been transferred to Allahabad court. Now this is your, from Faizabad court, it's gone
to
Allahabad
court.
Okay.
Oof.
Maybe the Faizabad court was like 2-3 pews over there, one guy.
Out of their depth.
Totally out of their depth.
किसी का साइकिल चोरी हो गया दैट इज वन लॉ सूट नेक्स्ट वन इज एन हिस्टोरिक 500 यूरो लॉ सूट
Okay, so now the next part of this story starts.
Right.
We can start with the Rath Yatra.
Which is, I'm guessing, December 92.
No, which was the movement started September 25th, 1990.
Okay.
L.K. Advani launches the Rath Yatra from Somnath in Gujarat to Ayodhya in UP to incite support for the movement.
Or fan the fire.
Very well put.
Inside supporters?
And,
because
and,
along the way there are vitriolic speeches.
And he's been arrested.
For it.
For it. So
when he was arrested for it, riots happened for the arrest of it.
Exactly.
So you can only imagine how much the flame had been fanned in advance.
Yeah. And it's not us whose opinion this is. He has been charge sheeted, L.K. Advani, for it. Okay, cool. So now this whole Rath Yatra movement has started. And you can say it culminates on December 6th, 1992, when the Babri Masjid was demolished.
So it's a 2-year long Rath Yatra. Or maybe because of the interruption,
he got arrested, things happened.
There would have been other things.
Yeah, all of that.
And then finally again on December, this has become a full-on attack.
Yeah. So, in one line, Babri Mosque razed by violent mob of Kar Sevaks. The Kar Sevaks leave behind a makeshift temple in its place.
Wow. So, So I remember the video from my childhood. I was really, really young. Because the images that were on TV were of rioters jumping onto over gates.
Yeah, yeah.
And physically with their bare hands tearing down and breaking down. So where have we reached?
So we have reached the destruction of the mosque now. And
at 92.
December 6, 1992. Now I think I have watched enough YouTube footage, enough coverage and opinions on this issue.
But this from this day?
From this day. I am convinced that this was completely planned.
Very much so.
And
I mean, it was planned.
It was planned. I don't know if there are other opinions out there, but it was planned. The police were
hand in glove.
They were asked to
vacate,
just disappear. And then you know, there is footage of retrospectively when you look at it. There's those guys, those Kar Sevaks, are saying, "Wait till 12 p.m. After 12 p.m., we will storm or whatever."
Hmm.
So, there is enough evidence to prove to me that this was completely planned.
And the level of planning also, it takes a lot more work, unlike today, because you have to understand that this is a pre-WhatsApp era.
Yeah, pre-internet.
Pre-mobile era.
Yeah, yeah.
Pre-anything. So, it takes a lot more planning.
Yeah.
Like today, you can mobilize.
Yeah.
Today, you can mobilize this in, say, a week's time.
Yeah.
Back then, this would have taken, I would say, a few months, if not more, because they're only looking at landline telephone.
Yeah, man. Like, see, you know, the modern day equivalent of Storm Area 51.
Storm Area 51. Absolutely.
And
with none of the malice. As in with, yeah, West, yeah.
And more people turned up for Storm Babri Masjid than the actual Storm Area 51.
In 92.
So imagine the effectiveness.
I think that's where religion, because Area 51 has no religious color. I mean, there's plenty of green.
Yeah.
There's all these alien-like.
Yeah.
But there's no religion flavor.
Yeah, man.
If it had, then nothing like it.
So that's what Area 51 needs.
It needs. I think Scientology should jump in.
Yeah. So now we are at Babri Masjid is demolished.
Yeah.
There was widespread rioting after that.
Yeah.
I think the number, official numbers, around 2,000 lives were lost.
Nationwide.
After this episode.
Crazy. And Bombay was a big contributor.
Yeah.
Bombay was on the map.
Yes.
In a big way.
There were bomb blasts, I think.
Bomb blasts, yeah. Followed. What is this order of things? Riots followed by bomb blasts? No, riots followed by bomb blasts, right?
I don't know. I was damn young then. Okay, cool. So, now the mosque has been demolished. And what I would... Then the other important thing that happened after that, because this full thing happened,
yeah,
was the Narasimha Rao government issues an ordinance to acquire 67.7 acres of land, which is the site itself, the disputed site, and the adjoining areas.
Now, this is a Congress government.
Yes.
They want to buy that land.
They acquire
it. They acquire it.
Yeah. And it was done, I believe...
Who did they buy it from?
I don't know.
Just by being in government, they managed to acquire it?
Yeah. I don't think it was a monetary transaction. Right. It was more... So, there was an act. It was passed as a law,
okay,
called the Acquisition of Certain Areas of Ayodhya Act 1993. To facilitate acquisition of land by central government. The idea being, we want to keep it neutral. Na tera, na mera, it is government land,
hmm,
until this issue is resolved.
So it was a special purpose,
yeah,
act, you can say.
Yeah. Okay. Now what happened is the next important move in this full thing. So far the Babri Masjid has been demolished. And there were arrests. So, because it was the Congress government then, I think the BJP was in power in three states. I may be wrong. Three or four states,
okay,
at that time.
What states were they?
I think it was UP, Himachal Pradesh, I think, was,
okay,
another one. And I don't know, you know.
Hmm.
But Rajasthan, I think, was another one.
Yeah.
So, I may be wrong about these, but three or four states.
Okay.
And the governments, the BJP governments of all these three or four states were... disbanded.
Okay.
That's the right word.
Because, yeah,
you know, the Congress government needed to take control of the situation. And again, there is lots of evidence. There is Narasimhan Rao's interview on this, which I've seen, where he says that there was utter misguidance by those locals, chief ministers of those states, telling us that this is happening, whereas actually something else is happening.
Right.
The central government had provided reserve forces for this Rath Yatra.
To avoid this. Something like this.
But the chief minister of that state said, no, we don't need anything. Those guys were ready.
And chief minister at the time was, I can't remember.
CM of UP... during Babri Masjid,
yeah,
demolition, Kalyan Singh.
Kalyan Singh, correct.
So far, now all these cases have been transferred to the Allahabad court. Now, fast forward to 2010, Allahabad High Court splits this land three ways, one by three.
Correct.
Okay, so the High Court delivers its judgment, dividing the land between three parties, one third for Sunni Waqf Board, one third for Nirmohi Akhada, and one third to Ram Lalla Virajman.
Right.
So, again, what happened was, all of these guys then appealed.
None of them were happy with the verdict.
Yes, none of them were
happy. Because it is, risk of sounding juvenile,
mm-hmm,
a stupid verdict. Because you cannot...
You could say it was a convenient, but
lazy.
Lazy verdict.
Lazy, not stupid, lazy. Mm-hmm. Because... it's like this. It's not a piece of cake that three people are asking for.
Yeah.
All three want the cherry on top.
Yeah.
So now...
and all three want only their cherry on top.
Yeah. There can only be one cherry on a cake.
One. Okay.
On said cake.
Fair.
Eggless for the Hindus. With...
beef for the Sunni Wakf
Board. And who's the third party?
Ram,
I don't know what they want.
Butter cake.
Butter cream.
Butter. Ram like,
yeah,
butter.
No, Krishna.
Krishna
like.
Lal
Krishna
butter.
Like.
Okay.
But theek, it doesn't... point is, yes, this analogy is doomed. Much like this case.
Much like the case. So, that happened. Everyone was unhappy.
Yeah.
Okay? It was a 1/3. Everyone was unhappy.
Nahi chahiye.
Which is why it then went to the Supreme Court.
So it is 2002 is when it has reached the Supreme Court.
2010 was when Allahabad High Court.
2010, split. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
2010.
So May 2011 was when Supreme Court stayed Allahabad High Court's ruling.
Right.
And it explains it well here. It says the SC admits a batch of petitions filed by all parties. Some of them termed the High Court judgment as strange.
Strange.
R.M. Lodha observes, a new dimension has been given by the High Court as the decree of partition was not sought by the parties.
Exactly, no?
Yeah. No one asked for this in the first place.
No, so the way they looked at it is actually going back to what we also sort of stated earlier in the show, which is we treated it like a title suit.
Yeah.
In the sense that if two brothers come fighting for land, you will partition the land and give it to them.
Correct.
Since you have come asking, saying, here is a cake, split it up, they split it up.
Mm. You know, it reminds me of that beautiful story.
Okay.
Where there are, it's a digression, but it's a lovely story. Where there are two women claiming that this is my child.
Okay.
So the judge is very smart. He says, okay, if you two are claiming, we'll chop the child in half. You take half. Then the one who was the actual mother says that, no, let her keep it.
Super.
So the judge said, array.
Wisdom.
Okay, so now we've reached where this full thing is now sitting with the Supreme Court.
Right.
And the Supreme Court said that no one sought this land to be chopped in three parts. So it was a strange order. How can a decree for partition be passed when none of the parties had prayed for it? Cool. So that's where we are.
Yeah.
From then until now, the Supreme Court was in the process of deciding this whole thing.
A lot happened
between then and now. Many governments were formed on the back of this. On the back of this, very well put. Awesome. So that's a long timeline.
It is a long time.
But I think we've laid a good foundation.
Yeah, I mean, you will require in a lot of talent to still sound stupid after having heard all of this.
Yeah.
So you can now happily go out there and talk about Ayodhya.
Nice.
Don't end up in jail. Don't talk about it on a microphone, in a public place, or when you're drunk.
Mm.
Or campaigning. Maybe, you know, who knows.
Now, the next part is, I think, we should describe the land parcel.
Yes.
Okay, that's
this is exciting.
Important step. So, let me look for a image.
A map, yeah.
Probably.
So, here there are some very interesting terms, right? We'll come across terms like Sita Ki Rasoi.
Yeah. Ram Chabutra.
Ram Chabutra. The central dome.
One term I keep on hearing is Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
I think that is the cherry.
Oh, okay.
Because that is where what the idols were placed.
So the idols were placed, and what was destroyed was the cherry, no?
Yeah. So I think that's what everybody wants. Now, when you cut the cake up, you can't cut it in concentric circles.
Correct. So I think I have a fair understanding. So, think of it like a concentric circles.
Right.
Okay. So, the innermost concentric circle.
Right.
And say my set of concentric circles are three.
Okay. Three layers.
Three layers of my concentric circles. The innermost concentric circle is the what they refer to as the sanctum sanctorum. The cherry.
The cherry.
As you described.
Is this a legal term, sanctum sanctorum?
No, I think it is just to define that this is the holy, this is what everyone is fighting
about.
I've heard it on a news channel, I don't know. So, the three domes of the Babri Masjid were in that innermost concentric circle, okay, which is part of the 2.77 acres, not the entire 2.77 acres.
Right.
So, if I have to break it up, the innermost circle and the circle after that are the 2.77 acres.
Okay.
And the larger third circle is the 67 acres, which forms the total land acquired.
And the 67, of course, 67 will include all three.
Yes.
Got it.
So, now...
this gives a scale also.
Yes. So, the innermost 2.77 acres, which is the first two circles...
Right.
I'm now talking only about the innermost one.
The first layer.
The first one. That has had the three domes of the Babri Masjid.
Right.
And in that was where the Rama idols were also placed.
Right. In 1949.
Yes. So, that's the... breakup of the land. So if I have to now again coming back to our innermost circle, but say if I have to break up that inner circle into parts, what even the court refers to, there is the inner courtyard and the outer courtyard.
Okay.
Inner courtyard is where the mosque was and the Ram, the statues of Ram were placed.
Right.
The outer courtyard was where all these other things were, the Sita Rasoi, Ram Chabutra, and all these whatever things were there. So that's I think the description of the land.
Of the land.
Does that give, maybe do you think that gives listeners?
That's enough.
It gives you a good visual representation of what it was.
So this is the land that is at dispute. What do the three litigants want? Maybe now is a point. Now we can first, before we get into what they want, who are the three litigants?
Yeah.
We've kind of addressed it.
Yeah.
But we can recap.
Okay, so the three litigants are, let's go turn by turn.
The first one was, in no order, Ram Lalla Virajman.
Okay. What does Ram Lalla Virajman want?
I don't know.
So, they are saying, their side is saying that we want the entire thing.
We want the entire thing.
Yeah.
All or nothing.
Yes.
Okay, then there's Nirmohi Akhada.
Now, Nirmohi Akhada's claim was, see, because they are caretakers of Ram.
The trust.
That's their objective as a organization.
Right.
So, I think they are the ones, I think I'm confident, they are the ones who were caretakers of the Sita Rasoi, the Ram Chabutra, etc.
They were doing work.
Yeah.
Actually doing some work there.
Yeah.
Ram Lalla Virajman is a litigant who is not actually active on ground.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
Then the third
is
litigant.
The Sunni Waqf.
Sunni Waqf.
Who's saying that this is mosque land?
It has always been mosque.
Mosque land.
As in there is a, their argument is a time based argument.
Yeah. And also evidence based. Like there was a mosque.
No, as in the how far back it goes. What came first.
Yeah. Cool, super. Okay, so now we've broken down the timeline, the land, and who the three parties were.
So let's go into now the nature of the litigants.
Mm.
Right? So there's three litigants. One is a body.
Mm.
One is a, as in the Sunni Waqf Board is a body that represents
the mosque.
The mosque. Then there is the Nirmohi Akhada, which represents the trust that is trying to run things on the ground.
Mm.
The third litigant is the most interesting and
the most you could say intangible.
Most intangible. Because here there are lawyers representing a deity.
Mm.
Which is very hard to comprehend.
Mm. So you know my response to that is the Supreme Court has also ruled previously on such matters.
Like?
Now I don't know the name of the specific case, but the Supreme Court has made it stand very clear.
That
whenever there is a question of belief in the Supreme Court, to me as the Supreme Court, it is not my responsibility to go and determine the foundations of the belief. Just the fact that the belief exists and a large number of people hold that belief to be
true
is enough for me to consider it.
Okay.
Which makes sense to me at least.
Okay. The only question I have here is, how do you define large number?
So, large number is my way of putting it. But there are enough people...
Or scale, or national scale.
Mm.
Is that a...
I don't know how they look at it.
Because this sets the precedent for... See, there are many temples in India.
Yeah. Yeah, and why temples? Like, tomorrow a group could say that for us, SpongeBob SquarePants is a...
Is a shrine.
Is a shrine.
Because in Tamil Nadu, they make temples for movie stars.
Yeah.
So, fictional, non-fictional, both.
Mm.
So, SpongeBob is a great example.
Mm.
It could be Thor.
Doraemon.
Doraemon temples. I mean, those kids who grew up on that, I'm sure are old enough to be lawyers now.
Yeah.
Or at least be... going through law school.
Mm.
I'm sure they're sharpening their knives as we speak, you know. In about 20 years' time...
we will see a Doraemon...
A fictional leader even.
So I don't... Yeah. And see, to me as a human being, it makes sense. I agree with the concept
that
if people find it... If that's their belief, that's their belief.
Yeah.
So the Ram Lalla, let me look it up because I don't know for sure what was Ram Lalla's, what is Ram Lalla Virajman? Okay, so at the heart of this judgment is a question of faith and history and the divine infant Ram Lalla Virajman. Under the law, a Hindu deity can be considered a juristic person with the right to be sued or to sue, and the apex court began hearing the case where Ram Lalla was a plaintiff. Okay, so the law already considers a Hindu deity as a juristic person that existed.
Hmm.
For the purpose of this case, the infant form of Lord Ram was deemed a perpetual minor under law. Yeah, so that's kind of the summary of it. Ram Lalla was the plaintiff and the infant Lord Rama was represented by his next human friend, human in quotes, Triloki Nath Pandey, a senior VHP leader who is among the litigants in this case.
Yeah, to bring it up to where we are, so we've done the timeline, we know the various parts of the land that in question.
Mm-hmm.
We've
also discussed who wants what.
Who wants what.
Mm.
Plus, then it went into, what's the word? The scientific discovery of, what do you call?
ASI?
ASI.
That's the Archaeological
Survey
of India.
Where I think they decided to make it a science-based fact-finding mission on dating the various parts, which also I think from this judgment's point of view, they have chosen to ignore what came first.
No, you know, that's the criticism of this judgment.
Yeah, they've chosen to not address it, right?
No, the criticism is they have looked at it selectively.
Correct.
They've cherry-picked.
Correct. This is true, right? So, in the... Yeah, so let's address that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to...
Yeah, fine. So, cool. That can immediately move on to the decision.
Yeah.
Now, what the... We'll come to this part.
Yeah.
But what was the decision?
Right.
Now, 9th November. Was it 9th or 10th?
Saturday.
Saturday was the 9th, no?
Yeah. 9th November 2019.
Was when the Supreme Court finally gave its verdict on this issue. So, if I have to sum it up, the three litigants, the major ones, I think, you know, I read somewhere that there were more also, but they were all kind of dismissed. And the three major ones, what happened was Nirmohi Akhada, they said it's dismissed. It was that they were not a caretaker. So, the Supreme Court ruled that the Nirmohi Akhada, they were saying that they were caretakers. That was their claim, which is why we wanted this land. And the word for that is called Shibet.
Okay.
Okay. So a Shibet is a person who is appointed by temple authorities to serve the deity, maintain the property and manage it. So the bench, the constitution bench, ruled that at its highest, these exhibits show that the Nirmohis were present in and around the disputed structure and assisted the pilgrims. It does not, however, evidence any management over the idols or the disputed site itself.
Hmm.
So, therefore, their claim of being a Shibet and thus having access,
claim over the land
was dismissed.
So, got it.
One is gone.
So, now it's between two.
Ram Lalla versus
Waqf.
Sunni Waqf Board. Then comes the Sunni Waqf Board.
Right.
Now, the Supreme Court's ruling, and I'm diluting it, majorly diluting it.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, Supreme Court ruled, they accepted that what was done, the demolition, was illegal, was wrong.
It was wrong.
Placing of the idols in 1949 was also wrong.
Was also wrong.
Therefore, however, they should have the right to worship. It should continue. Therefore, we are allotting them 5 acres of land in which they can build a mosque.
Where is this land being allotted?
They've not decided.
Within the 67 acres?
Even that I do not know. I don't think it is that. But they say a prominent site in Ayodhya. That's the words I've...
So the reaction...
The reaction...
From the Sunni Waqf Board towards this has not been... positive, correct?
The latest I heard was they are saying that we are not going to do anything. We are going to take this judgment. But you could say within the Muslims and the Sunni Muslims, whoever were fighting for that land, I think it is, there is some amount of discontent. But overall, I think they've said, the at least the litigants have said that we will take this.
Right.
We are just happy with
right.
peace that has been.
Because made. I would imagine that two parts of the ruling are very, very prominent,
mm-hmm.
which is pronouncing placement of idols in 92 as illegal,
mm-hmm.
pronouncing
the demolition.
Demolition, sorry, other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Demolition in 92 and placement in 49
mm-hmm.
as illegal acts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very, very important parts of the ruling
mm-hmm.
in terms of underscoring historical events.
Yeah. And
without going into
religion
or faith.
So, which is what the Supreme Court has attempted to do,
mm-hmm.
is they have said that ultimately we are going to treat this as if this is the property who had uninterrupted access may not be the right
use.
Who can demonstrate the longest uninterrupted use of this place?
And who was that?
Ram. That's where the Sunni Waqf Board lost.
Till then it sounded like science was playing a role.
Mm.
So maybe from a legal team point of view, they were making a case or an argument for science.
Mm.
But from the Supreme Court judge or the bench
mm.
point of view, they were not looking at it as a scientific verdict. They were looking at it as it's also unanimous.
Yeah, it's unanimous.
Which
that's the biggest, that's the bigger thing.
Nothing has been unanimous ever.
Yeah. And also there's another departure from the norm.
Hmm.
Usually, you know, the judgment is stamped with the name of who has authored that document.
This has been anonymous.
Anonymous. And these are two
glaring.
Hmm.
So what does this mean for our country? You know, we had this discussion once earlier about the secular concept of India and how possibly it came in too early.
Mm.
We will have to go through this kind of saffronization
to realize that
we need to be
secular.
As opposed to somebody giving a secularism as this is what you need.
Mm.
And it was given to us. Literally, we were given secularism as a platform. We rejected it because we couldn't handle it. It's too progressive a concept.
Yeah.
Because we've not understood that we want it.
Mm.
It's literally like saying you are giving somebody
it was too ahead of its time.
Too ahead of its time. It's like somebody who doesn't have a backache has been given a back brace
mm.
and he just chucks it. And he says, nahi chahiye mere ko ye. Till you actually experience that back pain, you'll be like, okay, now I want that thing
mm.
that keeps my spine in place.
Now, one major thing that I'm thinking about now is, see, if the Supreme Court has ruled that this is how the allocation of the land will happen, this
mm.
is where this will be entrusted to the central government, if they've ruled this, doesn't it make you wonder if they've said that placing the deities was not correct,
mm.
the demolition was not correct, don't you think something should happen to right that wrong?
Not just that. Think about this. Once you have given them this land,
mm.
are you telling me they're not going to demolish what is left of the tombs?
Yeah.
To construct the temple right there, right?
Mm.
So, there's a contradiction within that, right?
Mm.
Saying that, yes, this was wrong. Now, here, take the land to repeat what you...
Mm. You're giving the reins to the same people who committed the crime
in the first place. So, it is a massive circus.
Mm. So, it's for people to think about. You know, these are the zoomed out angles.
I am happy in one point of view.
Mm.
And that point of view is that it cannot be milked further.
Which is where I would even urge listeners to wait and watch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I heard another podcast, very good podcast. I think this was the big story one.
The Quint.
Yeah, where there was an opinion, I think, from a political analyst, or I don't remember who that person was. But they were saying that the way this has happened, it will give, there's no question that it will give multiple opportunities to the people in power to milk it.
Right. The photo ops.
The photo ops will be numerous.
Okay, so in that way milked, okay. What I meant by milked was no loss of lives. That's what I meant.
No loss of lives.
Let me rephrase that. What I meant, the good, for me, the silver lining, the one thing that for me shines through is that this dispute, I'm hoping that will not, hoping again. Because, you know, we're hoping that it will not be a, it's, once you say it's a ruling, it's done, make a temple, you finish it off. 100% like they may make it for the UP elections or the next Lok Sabha elections.
Yeah.
They may time it, like I think I read that, I heard that episode as well.
Which is what
it seems like there will be no violence, but you'll be surprised.
So I think I agree. From a violence point of view, maybe, you know, maybe
it puts an end to it.
Maybe it puts an end to the violence. However, see, violence is one thing, but a scarier thing for me would be using this
as a precedent to go after every other
one.
Yeah.
And using this as a chest thumping, ke we did this.
So I think that's a very good way to sum it up, right? Because I think we kind of did sum it up by saying that, you know, as citizens, our job is to keep the government in check. And keeping the government in check is not sedition. Sedition is inciting violence by disrupting law and order. So if you can be a smart citizen and understand the difference between keeping the powers that be in check without being seditious.
So that's also, you know, one opinion on this whole thing is that the fact that this judgment was unanimous also is an eye-opener. On the one hand, it feels, one side is that, you know, it was important for such a landmark decision to be unanimous to show to the country that no one else had a, this, everyone was on the same page. But at the same time, at the Supreme Court level, you need that voice of dissent or that voice of reason.
Yeah, this is where a fear for human life.
And the security of all the five judges has been beefed up. I just read it like this morning.
So
anyway, man, to conclude, I think the best that has come out of it is that there's not been a single incident of riot or violence or anything of that sort.
We've conducted ourselves in a very civil manner.
Very civil manner.
As a nation.
However.
So far.
And one important thing to note here is this has remained civil because the judgment has been this.
Absolutely. It's very
let's not pat ourselves on the back, KV.
It's a carefully orchestrated civil.
Exactly. So the question to ask is, would we have been the same way had the judgment been the opposite?
So I think we should kind of summarize. So we brought you, we've also had our own journey.
We didn't
know where this episode would go when we started.
I'll be fully honest, I am a little bit concerned
about us.
Obviously, you know, like, we will make sure that nothing that the objective, I think, that they're looking for is nothing should incite or work people up. Okay, because of this, I'm going to now. This is actually, you know, as if we've been discussing this, as if no one else is listening.
Yeah.
So, in the process, if you have learned something, that's cool. That's a very good outcome for us.
And in the process, if you... And I'm pretty sure this is not true. No, I'm 100% sure that it's a fairly passive discussion in that sense. That this is not going to wind anybody up to incite violence. So, we're safe.
We're safe. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
If you don't hear from us next week,
you're to blame. Yeah, because you reacted.
Yeah, actually. So even if someone who is tracking these kinds of conversations or content is listening, chill out, man. You know, we are the most harmless people.
Absolutely.
Come hang out with us.
Yeah.
And you'll see how harmless we are.
Yeah. Hopefully not at Arthur Road Jail. Or whichever jail.
And you know the best part?
Huh.
To show that there's peace. So Hindu Muslim exists right within.
Oh yeah, right here in the show. Let's not forget that.
That's the best glaring sign of harmony.
That's a glaring fact.
Which is quite cool, I think.
And we are... it's not like we are being apologetic for either of our identities.
Not at all.
Or our communities. We both understand objectively our roots, our...
Cultures.
You know, we may not be historians, but we get that...
We are citizens,
man. Super word, yeah. This is what we are. This is our national identity. Let's not ever have to be apologetic for anything. Great episode, man. Thank you.
Great episode.
Great time.
I feel like it has been... I was excited about doing this episode.
Yeah.
Because for once... You had to inform yourself a little
bit. And then there's a reflection almost.
Yeah.
Right? Because often we wonder about our own patriotic identity or whatever. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening if you still stuck around, because this is a long episode.
Yeah. And we promise to go back to our stupidity and antics by next week.
For sure. If we are still...
If we are still out alive. And about. alive. If not, then we'll probably start a crowdfunding exercise for medicine, for bail, for injury recovery, or hospital.
Hip replacement.
For those kinds of things.
But you know,
instead of saying go buy merch, we'll be like, band-aid this or whatever. Sofaramycin.
But you know, our listeners, I think they are the best. They will, I hope I'm right, but they'll even offer like kidneys and all. I'm very sure.
Easily.
They are damn cool.
Aray, testicles also.
Ek. Just one of you donate. We will share. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.